Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. This is the episode with Associate Pastor, Christian Life Coach, Minister Kimberly Horvath, will be bringing forth the word. I want to make an announcement really quick that starting next May the 23rd, every Friday there will be a Flashback Friday with Sister Pucci. On this I will just be playing some older mixes by DJ Frankie Vive, by resident DJ, as well as going back and reviewing some of the word that was given out over the past 7 years. And so I think that would a combination every Friday at 7 p.m. Central Time, we'll be doing that. I want everyone to know that Bible study is still available at the ministry's website, which is www.journeyhomeministries.org. Or there you'll find many resources. You'll find Bible study, Christian life coaching. You'll find the House of Inspiration show by DJ Frankie Vive, which is ministering, doing gospel house music. We also have a youth division that, that is highlighted every last Saturday of the month. The youth get together and with Minton Morgan. With Morgan Mortality, sorry, that was an ad that pops up, you know, certain things just keep happening, especially when you're on live. So let's see if Minister Horvath is on the line, and she is. Hello, Kimberly.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely great. Doing great. I'm excited about today's word.
I am too. Well, I'm going to give you the floor so you can get started.
Oh, wow, that quick?
Yeah.
Yay.
I've been waiting for it. Yeah. I've been waiting.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I'm very excited about this word because it is you know, it's one of my favorite topics, and God brought it to me a whole different way, giving us some insight. And so I'm really, really, really happy to get started with this. And I'm excited about being here on a Tuesday night. I think that this is a great opportunity for people to not be caught up in the hustle and bustle of their weekend. So I hope that they are taking advantage to listen live. And I'm really hoping that people are going to really take this word and really use it. I mean, the point of me doing this and, you know, this is about coaching. This is about you understanding how to take the lessons of the Bible and apply it to your everyday life. I mean, if that's not something that you can learn how to do, what is the point of Christianity for you? You know, we should be learning how to live what the word is saying, and we should be empowered by what the word gives to us. So I'm excited about the opportunity to always come monthly and to share some coaching opportunity with people so that they can walk in this word. So are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready, because I think it's a very good tool for Christians to use, one of the many tools that we offer at the ministry. So, yes, I'm ready to get this started. Okay.
Okay, awesome. We are going to be talking today. You know, I often talk about how as Christians we have an arsenal. you know, that we can use, a way to help get God's attention so that we can actually achieve the things that we are trying to achieve in life. Sometimes we're trying to move evil away from us. Sometimes we're trying to gain a new perspective and gain some wisdom. Sometimes we're trying to stop the hand of the enemy. But whatever it is that we are trying to do, we are always trying to get God's attention and to cause him to move on our behalf. And so one of the, you know, we talk about many arsenals, we talk about the many different things, you know, fasting, sowing, giving, you know, all that kind of stuff. Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer, but we're going to talk about prayer in another way, and I'm so excited. You know, prayer is probably one of the greatest things that we have. It is what we have that builds our relationship with God. It's what we have that helps keep us able to just communicate with him. You know, what is a relationship without communication?
Right, exactly,
You know, I don't care what the relationship is. It could be, you know, a husband to a wife, a partner, a spouse, or, you know, children to parents, children with each other, friends, a work relationship. All these different relationships we have with people would not exist without a form of communication. That's why some people can get along so well and other people just can't. A lot of times it has everything to do with their communication or the lack thereof, or whether their communication is effective or non-effective. And so it is no different in our relationship with God. Are we using our tool of prayer to communicate with him? And in that communication, is it one way or is it two ways? You know, if you're the only person doing the talking, that's a problem. And if God is the only one doing the talking, that's a problem. You need to communicate. It needs to be, you know, a give and take on both sides in order for the relationship to build. Now, some people might say, why do I need to talk? God knows everything. Why is it that I need to use my mouth, my words? Simply none other than because God asked us to. God does know, you know, exactly what we're thinking and all the things that we're facing. But the reality is that God has requested that we use our voice. And God has made us in his image. So if you look at the genesis of our creation and you look at how we were created simply by God saying that he was, let us create man. Let us do this. And so things came into being. And God spoke them. And so therefore he also wants us to speak so that our lives will become into being, so that our lives will be created. So, you know, it's important for us to speak. The other thing is that I always put it to this, like, to people, you know, God is a gentleman. God is not going to invite himself into your life. He's not going to come just walk up in your house and sit up on your furniture and eat your food and drink your water. You know, God is a gentleman, and he's waiting to be invited. And when you invite a person in, you invite them in. You speak to them. You send them a letter. You make sure that they get the invitation and that they are aware of the date, the place, the time, and the theme, if there is one, for them to be able to communicate with you. When we invite people into our presence, we even often let them know, hey, I'm going to be available to you from this time until this time, right? God is no different. He comes to us as we make ourselves available to him. And so if you look at, you know, the one who is the greatest one for us to look at, and how he invited God in, Jesus, the Bible tells us that he got up early in the morning. And if you take a look, you see that it says that it was common for him to do this. It was common, number one, for him to pull himself away from other people to have private time with God.
Right.
Now, this is important for a lot of different reasons. Because oftentimes when we speak of Jesus, we speak of him in the mode of, you know, well, he's God. and so therefore this and therefore that. But the thing we have to remember about Jesus is that while he was here and walking the earth, he was also a man. And therefore, he was subject to operate in the world the same way we do. He was not victorious because he was God. He was victorious because he was righteous.
Amen.
Okay, so we have to understand that he lived the life that we live. The Bible says that he did not, that we do not have a Savior that does not understand how we suffer. And he doesn't, he's not a Savior that doesn't understand how things are difficult for us. He understands that we are impatient. He understands that we have desires. He understands exactly what it is we go through because he felt it and he went through it himself. The Holy Spirit is moving me to talk about how Jesus had desire. When Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified and he was praying there because he was saying to God, listen, it's not my will but your will, but listen, I would really love it if you would make it so that I would not have to go up here on this cross. You know, I would really love it if I don't have to die. You know, and he was pleading with God, and he was pleading and praying so hard that blood was coming out of his pores. And at this time, Satan comes to him. Now, this is what Satan does. He comes to you when you're weak. He doesn't wait until you're all prayed up. He's not coming to you when you're in a church. He's not coming to you when you have fasted. He's not coming to you when you have sown with confidence. He's coming to you when you're broken. He's coming to you when your money is all messed up. He's coming to you when you're confused, when you're sick, when you're down, when you're out. He is a dirty player, okay?
Right.
He's going to come to you like that. And that's how he came to Jesus. And Jesus was begging, please let this cup pass for me. However, if you don't want to do that, Father, I'm going to do what you say, but I really, really would like you to move this mountain.
Move this. And people,
he definitely wanted that.
Yes, he did. No, that's a great point. To demonstrate just the human aspect of his walk, because I don't think a lot of people even talk about that he asked not to have this happen to him.
He
wasn't like, yay.
He said, let this happen to me. he did not want this to happen. And so Satan comes to him. And here's the thing. You have to look at what Satan tempted him with, because Satan comes to tempt you with the things that you desire. I mean, he can't tempt you if you don't care.
Right.
I want you to think about that. And the Bible does say that he came to tempt him. And one of the things that he said was, I can't remember the exact words, so I want people to look it up for themselves. But basically what he said was, listen, if you bow down and acknowledge me, I'll give you the world. Wow. Really? You know, this is what he says to Jesus. Now, I want people to see this because you have to understand, we say he's talking to God. He's not talking to God when he's saying, I'll give you the world. God created the world.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, need Satan to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't
need
Satan to give it to him. Remember that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had all authority. But when they ate the apple, they gave that over to Satan. So Satan now was the ruler, okay? And what Jesus needed to do was make this straight. And so Satan did have the authority to say, listen, if you would just bow down to me, I will give you this.
I'll give you this. And, you know, and Satan is really tricky because he offered him something similar to what God promised them.
Absolutely.
So he used half-truths when he comes to you and he tries to trick you.
All the time. He doesn't come to you with all truth. He comes to you with a half truth. And the Bible tells you that it's the truth that will make you free.
Absolutely.
So Satan is not coming to give you freedom. He's coming to keep you condemned and to keep you imprisoned. He's not coming to offer you anything that's going to cause you to have liberty. God's word will always cause you to have a liberty. Okay? So he comes to Jesus in this way, and Jesus obviously said no. What did Jesus do? Every time Satan came to him, Jesus quoted scripture.
Right.
He quoted God's word. You see, what Jesus did was he gave Satan the truth. He says, yeah, I see what you're saying to me, but the truth says this.
Right.
Yeah, I see what you're saying to me, but the truth says this. I want people to know that Satan will challenge you.
Right.
I want people to know that Satan will come. Just he did exactly to Jesus what he did to Eve. Did he not? He was talking to Eve.
Right. You're right.
And here he is in the garden. He was in the garden talking to Eve. And, and for those of you who don't know the story that well, her husband was standing right there. Adam was right there.
You're right.
So while the Bible tells us that he was talking to Eve, truthfully, he was addressing both of them because they were both standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
When he came into the garden to address Jesus, Jesus gave him the truth of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he says, get thee behind me.
Right.
And Satan had to flee, and the angels came to comfort him. The reason why I feel that this particular passage is so important with regard to us discussing prayer and the ability of going into the throne room is because we're talking about facing the truth. Many, many, many people in their prayer time with God, there are people having prayer time with God all the time, but many of them are not very honest in that prayer time.
Right.
They're not.
Ooh.
Jesus had the ability to say, I really don't want to do this. I don't know how many people are honest enough with God to say, God, I know you are opening this door for me, but I don't want it.
Right. You know, we do tend to...
I don't know how many people are saying, Father, I know that you're giving me this platform, but I'm going to tell you, I really don't think I'm ready.
Right.
I know a lot of people are given opportunity with God, and they're not even willing to say, look, I know that you're giving me this opportunity here, but you know what? I don't feel I'm educated enough. I really don't believe that I'm smart enough. I really don't believe that I'm the right. A lot of people are not being honest about the way they feel. Look at what Moses did. When Moses was having this conversation with God, and God said, listen, you go back to Pharaoh, and you tell him to let my people go. And Moses said to God, I stutter. You sending me? I stutter. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
I stutter. Okay? He said, oh, you stutter? Okay, fine. You need some help? Take Aaron with you. Let Aaron be your mouthpiece, but I'm still sending you.
I'm still sending you.
Don't be coming up here with your silly issues. I'm still sending you. Now, what I'm saying is that, you know, God understands exactly where we are. A lot of times I don't think that we're truthful about exactly where we are. And one of the challenges about us getting places or obtaining things in life or being blessed is that, you know, I believe that when God does things, when he opens doors, I believe that he opens doors and the only one that can close them is him, and he's only going to close them when it's time for them to be closed.
Yes.
I don't believe that he's closing it as a punishment to you. It's just time for you to move on. I believe that when God gives you something, that he gives it to you to permanently have. Now, if you don't keep it forever, it's because you didn't keep it forever, but not because he took it away. I don't believe that God takes away the gifts that he gives us. I believe that we choose to not to operate in them. That's really what I believe. Now, there are going to be people that refute that. This is not the kind of Bible lesson where I'm going to go through all the reasons why I believe that. You can only believe what it is you choose to believe. I believe that God gives and he gives permanent. Okay? That's really what I believe. So what happens is that for whatever reason, we are not honest with our own selves.
Right.
And we are not saying, you know what, I don't feel assured. I don't feel empowered. I don't feel confident. We're not saying that. And we're not we're not going before the Lord with the truth of who we are. There are a lot of people, there's a lot of talk right now about whether or not people need to repent. Okay? I'm just going to say, just be honest with God. Just come to him and say, here's where I'm struggling.
Right.
Here is where I'm weak. Here is where I feel ineffective. Here is where I believe I'm deficient. And then listen to what he says. Our,
and he
our
also
Bible
says,
says,
No, I just said he also says that I am made strong in your weakness. So we have to be vulnerable enough to be honest. And so, and that's what it boils down to, is just that vulnerability. You have to be that. You have to humble yourself.
Right. You know, the thing about, you have to humble yourself. And the thing, you know, that's a very hard thing for Americans to do. We are very, very proud, very big on, you know, how we look on else. You know, what everyone else believes about us or saying about us, and making sure that we look perfect in front of the Joneses and all that kind of stuff. And we're just not keeping it real. You know, the truth of the matter is that people who are truly spiritual people, anointed people, people who are spending time with God, filled with discernment and all of that kind of stuff, they can see you and all of your issues a mile away. Those people are going to be the ones that are praying for you and not talking about you in the middle of your mess.
Right.
That's just the truth. And the people who are talking about you in the middle of your mess need prayer themselves.
Amen.
So why are we trying to, why are we holding back in our relationship with God and not getting the instruction that we need, just in order to make sure that we are keeping up appearances to other folks? It just doesn't make any sense to me. The Bible talks about come boldly, throne of grace. And it talks about coming to God, how? Not after you cleaned up your mess, but just the way you are, in the middle of your stuff, broken, I mean, insecure, envious, jealousy, with lack, sick, whatever it is that you are. And many of us have many great qualities, wonderful things about us. And then there are some things in areas where we are weak, because we're not strong in every area. And what God is saying, listen, in your good places and in your bad places, bring all of that stuff and come on in here, come boldly. You know what it says? Come with confidence. Come with courage. Come willing. Come strong. Come loud. And come quickly to the throne of grace. Just come in here. Just come in here and watch what happens. That's what he says. Come boldly. Right? Come boldly.
Right.
Just the way you are. So I want people to sit and think for a moment right now. When is the last time that you truly came boldly in complete and absolute surrender before the throne of God?
Wow.
Many people have been in situations having a hard time in the Lord in public places, you know, whether it's a church meeting, a Bible study, or maybe you just got together with a group of friends and you all are talking about God or praise and worship, and God just comes in and you feel in your heart this is your opportunity to let it go. But because of you being embarrassed, because you don't want people to look at you and wonder, because there might be someone there that knows what's going on with you and you don't want them to share that,
right,
you don't go. You know, God says, you don't need to go boldly anywhere else except to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just go boldly to the throne of grace. So I want to talk to you about a few things that happen when we come boldly to the throne of grace. First of all, when you come boldly and when you come naked before him, what happens is that you face your truth. Now, remember, the Bible talks about how you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Here's the thing that you have to understand is that the kind of freedom that Christ is talking about is the spiritual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When you are spiritually free, nothing can hold you captive.
Right.
This is the reason why you hear people talk about their time in jail. You hear inmates talk about their time of imprisonment, and they have grown close in a relationship with God, and they say, I was more free there than anywhere else, any other time in my life, because they have obtained a spiritual freedom that nothing can break. Remember, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. When you are walking in God's peace, you are walking in his freedom.
Yes.
And when you're walking in God's freedom, there is nothing that can stop you.
Nothing.
So you have to understand that this is about getting you to a place of truth. It's not about embarrassing you. God is not going to say, okay, now I want you to go tell 10 people. You know, God will encourage you to share your testimony, because testimonies break chains. Somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs your truth. And it's not about, look at what I was doing and I was doing this. It is about, look at where I was and how God has given me freedom. Look at how God has built me up. Look at how God has altered my life. Look at how God has blessed me. Look at where I am because I'm moving in the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's what your testimony is about. Your testimony isn't to give honor to the way you were living and what was going on at that time. It is to give honor to what God has done.
Right.
That's why we need to share testimony. If you get into a place where testimony is being shared for the sake of other people to gossip, you are in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Testimony is shared for people to obtain freedom.
The rights.
Okay? Remember that the Bible, see, this is why it's so important for you to get verses of the Bible that mean something to you and hold them near and dear to your heart. I say, take verses of the Bible that mean something to you and memorize them. Act as if you may not have a Bible one day. And then, oh my gosh, what would you do? Behave like that. Because the Bible says, I have not given you a spirit of fear.
Right.
I want to stop right there for a minute. Because if you don't have a spirit of fear, that means you shouldn't be afraid of sharing that testimony. God didn't give that spirit to you. It's one thing for you to be respectful and aware that there could be some people that may want to use that testimony for your harm. It's one thing to be aware of and understand that, but it's another thing to let that stop you from doing what God is calling you to do. Because you are now saying to God, listen, I hear you telling me that I should share my, however, I believe that what these people have going on is greater than what you're telling me to do. You are allowing fear to exalt itself to be higher than God. Mm-mm. There is nothing that should be able to exalt itself higher than the truth of the word that God has given you. So if God tells you to do something, don't let that fear move you not to do it, because that fear is of the enemy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's of the enemy. So what I'm saying is, so God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Well, what kind of spirit has he given us? He said he's given us, number one, a spirit of power.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And what else? The spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. I want people to understand that. because people just say he's given us a spirit of power, and then he's given us love, and he's given us sound mind. No, no, no. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. That is very different than just receiving love in a sound mind. You have a spirit of power and a spirit of a sound mind. That is completely different. God is a spirit, and you have to know him in spirit and in truth. That means you have something that's a little bit different than just somebody loving you.
Right.
And you have a different kind of ability to love someone, because you can love someone when they're not lovable, because you have and that spirit of love that's within you can break every chain all around you and around the people that are associating with you. Why? Because the Bible says that love never fails.
Mm-hmm.
Never fails. Where there are issues, just love. Just keep loving. Don't give hate for hate. Don't give evil for evil. You know, don't do those things, because that gives power to those negative things. If you want to get rid of envy and strife and jealousy and hate and anger and pain and all these other things, if you want to get rid of that, love.
Right.
The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. So if you mm-hmm. just keep giving love, watch what happens.
Right.
When you get over to all of these other things, what happens is that's like the wages of sin coming forth. And what does the Bible mm-hmm. say about that? The wages of sin are death. We think
right.
of it as death, as in you're going to end your life, or you're going to have a life that ends early. No, 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 no. You're going to live, but be yet dead. You're going to be
mm-hmm.
spiritually dead.
Dead. Yes.
You're going to be spiritually dead. You're cutting off your spiritual life. That's what
mm-hmm.
that is all about. So let me get that
mm-hmm.
one point. So,
okay. Keep it real and keep it moving.
I'm so sorry. I'm just like really heated about this. I hope people are getting it.
I'm tweeting it so they can listen to
it
again.
Okay.
Yes.
Some tweetable moments, right?
The tweetable moments. You want to know what we're talking about? Listen to the show over again.
So when God is talking to us about coming boldly to the throne, he really wants you to just absolutely, completely surrender yourself over to him and to share with him whatever it is that you need to share with him. And here's the thing that you have to understand, that God is no other. He is.
Right.
He will hold confidences. He will build you up. You do not have to worry about any kind of backstabbing. Our God is a God who is love, and he is grace, and he just pours out and pours out and pours out so much that the love that he has builds you up and makes you strong again. Do not ever be afraid, no matter who you are. I don't care what you've done and what mess you're in. Do not be afraid of going before the throne of God. God is
Amen.
Your healer. He's your
Amen.
Healer. And he will be there for you to build you up. And he will send other people around you to keep that love flow going on, so that you continue to walk stronger and bolder and understand him more and more and more, until you're able to walk on your own and help heal other people. That's what this is
right.
all about. You know,
right.
we all have a place in which we can heal other people if we would just stop being afraid and doing so. So
mm-hmm.
I want to take the last few minutes to talk about some of the blessings of going boldly before the throne. And the first thing was, make sure you're going in truth to him, all right? So when you go to God boldly before the throne, one of the things that happens is that you break intimidation and fear over your life.
Amen.
That's huge, because intimidation and fear is what keeps most of us from moving forward to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us are even afraid of the good things because we don't know how we would manage the good things.
Right.
I'll give you an example of that. You know, I share this testimony whenever I have an opportunity, but for many years of my life, I lived as a very depressed person, clinically depressed. I mean, it was very serious. I had suicidal tendencies. I had serious battle with depression. I was just very unhappy. And
right.
I had been unhappy for such a long time that I really didn't understand joy at all. And so I was in therapy, and then the idea of we were talking about the idea of being joyful and having happiness. And the concept of actually feeling happy was so foreign to me that I didn't want anything to do with it.
Right.
Because I didn't know anything about it. And I'm not saying that I didn't have happy moments. I had happy moments, but I was not happy. Now, let me flip that for people to possibly understand it. A normal person lives a happy life with sad moments. I lived a sad life with happy moments.
Yes.
And it wasn't because my life was sad. I just felt sad. I had a wonderful family. My parents were wonderful people. You know, I grew up safe. I grew up in a middle-class family. I had all the things that I needed. I was never hungry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have a lot of the troubles in life that many people have. You know, I'm not saying that no one, you know, I'm not saying that there weren't people that had more than me. This wasn't about that. But I was loved.
Right.
But this wasn't about that. I was just sad. I was a sad person that had happy moments. And so I would sit when I was trying to figure out, Kim, if you decided to be happy, who would you be? How would you be different? And how would your life be different? And so I started practicing by saying, okay, I'm going to try to sit 5 minutes a day and not feel sadness, but feel happiness instead. And I couldn't do it. It was so foreign to me. I could not do it. I couldn't do it because I was afraid. I was intimidated at the thought. And I thought that it was going to change my life in a way that I wouldn't be able to be who I was. And the truth is that although I was happy, I liked who I was. I wasn't a bad person. I didn't try to hurt people. I was just sad.
Right.
This is what I want people to understand about the enemy. He's subtle.
Subtle. Very subtle.
You know that that was nothing other than the enemy in my ear saying, you don't want to be happy. Well, I mean, who would you be if you were happy? How would people wouldn't even like you if you weren't happy? Because people like you the way you are. That was the enemy talking to me, exalting himself above the word of God in my life.
And there's a lot of people out there.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of people out there who deal with chronic depression or something like that that needs to hear this testimony that you were at that point, like, and I have suffered from it, you know. And
it's
really
rough when you suffer from depression because it's not – people who don't suffer from it don't understand. It's not like you could just go do stuff and be happy. It doesn't work like that. You know, it really
doesn't.
You know, so, you know, it's like that was the enemy in my life talking to me and keeping me down. And what I want people to understand is that that is what he does. And he makes you feel powerless to achieve what it is that God has in mind. But here's the thing that you have to know. God never intended that you achieve what he had in mind by yourself. He intended for you to let him inside you so that he could do it through you.
Right. Right on.
You don't have to do it at all. Just let him in you so he can do it through you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That is the truth. Right. And so when you begin to be honest with God, I went before him and I said, Father, I'm just unhappy, and I don't understand this whole happiness thing. I'm afraid of being happy. What would happen to me? What would happen to my friends? What would happen to my job? And he took care of it for me.
Right.
Because I went boldly with honesty and said, I understand that you're telling me that this is what you want for my life. I'm just going to tell you why I'm afraid. And God filled me without – see, when you are truthful about your fear, God could take that spirit of fear and break it off of you because he's going to shower you with love. All right? So that one of the things that happens is that we break intimidation, all right, and we break fear. the other thing that happens when we come boldly before the throne of grace is that it helps us to walk in love. See, I really believe that breaking fear and intimidation off your life changes everything.
It does.
You know, it's kind of like looking out of a, you know, being in a building, excuse me, and looking out the window through the sixth floor window, and you get, you know, you have a nice little view on the sixth floor, and then you go up to the 30th floor, and you have a really nice view.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go up to, like, the 65th floor, and it's like, wow.
Right.
I didn't know all of that existed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, that's what it's like, you know, when you begin to break fear off of you. You begin to see from a different lens, a lens that only God's children can see through, you know?
Oh,
it gives you a different vision, you know, for your life and for the world around you. And when you begin to see that, He develops a holy hunger in you for those, and you stop being as afraid, and you start desiring more of the things that God had in mind for you to desire to begin with. And
right.
you begin to learn. When you don't have fear, you can begin to love. People stop loving because they're afraid. I'll give you a case in point. Let's think about our churches, the things that we say, the things that we do. Maybe I don't want to do that because I don't want to keep picking on churches all the time. I say churches because I really mean, I'm really talking about Christian people.
Right.
So I don't want to say churches. I'm going to say Christian people. You know, there's a lot of battle going on. And I'm going to say this. It's going to be very controversial. There's a lot of battle going on. Get ready, people, because it is going to be controversial. And I'm okay with that. But there's a battle going on about people who live their lives in a homosexual lifestyle, and people who don't. And I prefer to say an alternative lifestyle, because it could be homosexual, it could be whatever it is, but something different than what we deem, or whatever you want to call it, as being what it's supposed to be. All right?
Exactly.
There are many people that live their lives differently than that. And so what many of us want to do is that we want to point our religious fingers at them and tell them why they are wrong. And we want to point at them and point out their sin and explain to them why God is going to condemn them and all that kind of stuff. And the truth is that we are doing exactly what the Pharisees did back in the day when they were pointing at people and pointing at people and pointing at people. We need to take and do what Jesus did. When the Pharisees found the woman that was caught in sin, fornicating with this man, they didn't bring the man forward to him, by the way. They only brought the woman.
The
interesting
woman.
how we pick and choose who we are going to point our fingers at. And it's often going to be those people who are more marginalized than others, people that we assume are weak and are not going to fight back. That's usually who we choose to point our fingers at. However, they brought this woman before Jesus, and they told him, here's how we caught her. What do you say about this? And Jesus knew that this was a setup, all right? Because the Jewish law at the time, as they interpreted it, said, you need to stone this woman, okay? And what Jesus did was they say, you know, he went and he wrote the dirt, and it doesn't even matter what he wrote because it's what he said that matters. And he said, let you, who is without sin, cast the first stone.
Amen.
And not one of them was able to cast a stone. And he said, woman, where are your accusers as they left? And she said, there are none. And he said, he didn't accuse her either. Go ahead on and sin no more. He offered her love and he offered her grace. Now, modern day, imagine what would happen if we decided, instead of pointing at people and telling them what their sin is, to say, you know what, in spite of what I believe your sin is, I'm going to choose to love you.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of what's going on in your life that isn't right, I'm going to choose to embrace you.
Right.
In spite of, you know, you not living up to what I think you should be living up to, I'm going to show you grace and mercy and kindness. Imagine how that would alter the world.
Yes.
See, people can't come to God because we represent God incorrectly.
Right. And, you know, I always go to the scripture that this simply says over and over in the Bible, do not judge.
Do not judge. Yes.
Do not judge.
Do not judge.
Period.
And whatever happened to love?
Yes.
I mean, how many times?
Love.
You know, what is
yes.
the greatest commandment? To love your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? I mean,
right.
seriously. And Jesus said that all of the commandments are wrapped up into those things. Just
mm-hmm.
loving. So when we come boldly before the throne of grace, it's going to help us to begin to walk in love. See, because that's not easy to do. It's really not easy to do. Try loving someone
right.
who hurt you.
Right?
Yeah. Try loving,
yeah,
look,
I've been there.
We just had Mother's Day. Try loving somebody who hurt your mama.
Yeah. Yep. Been
there. That's going to be
been
kind
there.
Of hard to do.
Yeah, been there. Been there.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that love thing is no joke. You know,
right.
but that's the reason why it's so powerful. Because remember, there is love and there's the spirit of love. And God is talking about utilizing that spirit of love. There is fear
uh-huh.
and then there's a spirit of fear. See, I'll give you another example. An example of fear is there are people who have a fear or a respect for fire, a fear, you know, I'm not going to leave candles out in the open overnight in a room that I'm not in for fear that a fire might break out because I'm, you know what
right.
I mean? That is
mm-hmm.
normal. Now, a spirit of fear is going to cause you to not have a gas stove and never use any kind of fire at all in your house.
Right,
right. Now, many people are going to think that that is silly, but there are many people in the world that live paralyzed like that because they are afraid, and they don't want fire in their house because they're afraid that fire will break out. That is a spirit of fear. It's a stronghold over your life, all right? So God wants us to be able to walk in this spirit of love. Now, the other thing that we receive when we move towards the throne of grace is that it delivers us from the evil one.
Yes.
Satan is not going to walk up in the throne room and snatch you out of the arms of God.
No. No.
That is not happening. You
no.
know? I want no. you to think about when you were a kid. I would like to believe that most of us had an experience where there might have been something that we were afraid of, maybe a dog, a pet, you know, an animal. Maybe we're being chased by somebody or something or whatever, but we ran into one of our parents' arms or ran into the arms of someone in our family or a friend that we knew loved us, and we knew
right.
that as long as we were in their arms, we were going to be safe and nothing
right.
was going to happen to us. How much more does God love you?
Mm.
If you bring yourself and all your stuff into the throne room of God, and you're having this conversation with God, do you really think that he's going to let Satan walk up in the throne room and snatch you? He's not going to do that. And
no,
he's not going to say, you know what, I'm going to send you over to Satan because you've got too much stuff for me to deal with. I can't handle your stuff.
No, no.
God can
no,
handle your stuff and all the stuff that you've never even seen before. God is,
right.
please, God is not thinking about your stuff. Your stuff is insignificant to him.
Mm-hmm.
It really is insignificant to him. And by the
yes.
way, Jesus already paid the price for all the stuff that you're bringing with you into the throne room. So stop thinking that you're going to be condemned. You're not going to be condemned because the price has been paid.
There's no condemnation.
There is no condemnation. You know, what's amazing is that we say these things, but
mm-hmm.
we don't really recognize how they apply to our lives.
Exactly.
The Bible says there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it say that? Because you are in Christ Jesus.
Christ.
He's already
right.
paid the price, for anything that, not only that you did do wrong, but anything that you will ever do wrong. Mm-hmm. And he's paid the price for anything that your children will do and their children will do until the end of all time.
Right.
The price
Absolutely.
Has already been paid. So mm-hmm. The more you go into the throne room, see, here's what happens. As you get into that throne room, you are moving deeper and deeper behind the veil. You're getting more and more revelation, more and more understanding, more and more anointing, more and more power. I mean, you are being spiritually built up. And so you begin to learn something, and you are now in a point where you're becoming delivered from the evil one. The other thing that happens is that it sets us on the right path. Now, I talked before about Jesus getting up early in the morning. Now, the Bible, if you read it and you watch what happens, Jesus would get up early to pray, and then the next thing you do is you see him walking into a town, healing this one, healing that one, healing this one, preaching the word with truth, you know, causing the Pharisees and the Sadducees to be dismayed at the truth. You know, they're all kinds of confused, don't understand what school did he go to, how did he learn all this, where did this insight come from. You know, he's just setting everybody straight, causing liberty to come to the whole town. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because he spent time with the Lord. He spent time mm-hmm. with the Lord. He got delivered. He broke intimidation and fear. He decided to walk in love. And by the way, when you're praying for people, when you decide to make a decision that as you pray for them, you will love them, watch how much faster they receive what they need. Just watch that. Watch how much faster mm-hmm. they receive what they need. You know, they're delivered, and you just start walking on the right path because God is going to say to you, now listen, today I want you to listen to me because when you get over to such and such a street, I got to give you more. But right now, just go walk over there. And then when you get over there, God is going to say, okay, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to go down here, and you're going to get that fish, and you get the money out of there because you're going to pay your taxes today, all right?
Right, exactly.
And then you're going to do that. And then he's going to say, okay, go over to this corner, and I want you to preach to this congregation of people. And when they get
mm-hmm.
hungry, there's going to be a little boy there with two loaves of bread and a few fish.
Right.
And you're going to feed everybody there, all of those folks. You're going to feed them all. And you say, okay,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. And then at the end of all that, you're going to pull yourself away to pray. You're going to send your disciples over here on a boat. You're going to be with me. It's going to be a storm, but don't worry because you're going to walk across the water and get in that boat. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is exactly how God is going to lead you as you begin to make time for him and just go with absolute surrender boldly, boldly to the throne of grace. The last thing that I want to remind you about is that you will know spiritual truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the spiritual truth you know will not only set you free, but it's going to set free people all around you. Here's the thing that you have to understand as a Christian. One of the things that I understand as a Christian is that the place that I work is blessed because I'm there.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And I believe that part of my responsibility at work is to have answers for my boss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what kind of questions and what kind of trouble he's going to have, and I don't know what kind of problems he's going to have, but I tell you what, I know that God knows, and I know that the Holy Spirit knows the answer, and I know the Holy Spirit is my friend and my counselor, so that when my boss shares with me what his problem is, because I'm going to ask him, what issue do you have that you would like me to work on for you?
Right.
He's going to tell me, and I'm going to say, okay, great, and I'm going to go to my prayer room, and I'm going to say, listen, Holy Spirit, I don't know why I asked that man that, because I sure as heck do not know what to do. I need your help. And the Holy Spirit is going to say, okay, Kim, well, here's what you need to do, blah, 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 and there's my
mm-hmm.
answer going to be. See, I don't need to know anything. I got God. I have the Holy Spirit, our counselor,
Amen.
That's going to tell us everything we need to know. And then I'm going to go and handle this issue, go back to my boss and say, okay, here's what the problem was. The problem's already fixed. You don't even have to worry about it. And here is what I did. Bam.
Amen.
Who does he love?
You.
Oh, this is exactly how you use the truth of your relationship with God for other people. And when he says
mm-hmm.
to you, how do you always figure this out? You just say to him, I'm one of God's favorite people. Didn't you know that?
Hey. Thank you. Wear it proudly. And you know, we're running out of time.
I'm done. I am completely done. That's really what I want people to understand, that this thing works full circle. It works full circle. It's for you. It's for the people around you. But you first have to be willing to be truthful and go to the throne of grace.
Right.
With boldness and honesty.
Yes, boldness and honesty. Honesty. Well, I have enjoyed this, okay? And if people want to reach you, they can email you at khorvac@journeyhomeministries.org. Pass this around to your friends. Let everybody listen. The truth shall truly set you spiritually free. And I thank you so much, Associate Pastor Horvath.
Oh, thank you for having me, as always. You know, I love doing the show. And I'm always,
right.
always so excited about the word that God brings. I hope that people are really blessed by it tonight.
I hope they are too, okay? And again, the shows are archived, so if you're just joining us, this is the Journey Home Outreach Ministry, it's an online radio show. Our website is www.journeyhomeministries.org. You can listen to the show there, or if you're on Facebook, you can catch us at on Facebook, the Journey Home Outreach Ministry, to get the link to the show. Okay, we will see you next month.
All right. God bless you, everybody.
Possibly on a Wednesday. Okay.
All right.
Okay, everybody. We're going to go roll out of here like we always do with the song How Great Thou Art by Society Hill Music. Everyone, peace, blessings, and we're out.